You're listening to an all-new episode of Off the Rails with Sloppy Yellow. Views and opinions expressed here reflect hardcore fan perspectives and sometimes might be factual. Be advised, this podcast may contain adult language.
All right, boys, let me tell you something. The Richmond race, as far as Datto, through Datto's filter and Datto's eyes, was wildly entertaining. Billy, we've gone there the last 6 or 7 years. Honestly, since Dale Jr. got wrecked by KBT.
Kyle Busch.
We haven't seen a whole hell of a lot of action there. Probably the biggest thing that happened since then was hitting at the place where that fella got drunk and climbed up on top of the fence, Billy.
It was a few years later.
Those are the two most exciting things that have happened in the last decade at Richmond, as far as I'm concerned. It's been a pretty boring race. I know my good friends Mark and Kim went up there to a race 4 years ago, I think, and they were excited to get there, and they didn't see much of anything. I got to tell you, Billy Bradley, that was probably the best Richmond race I have seen since the era of the car tomorrow. I mean, this is definitely the best, as far as I'm concerned, since 2007. And the fact of the matter is, you could pass on that track, and it wasn't just necessarily passes for the lead and all that kind of stuff, but there was passing all up and down the racetrack and back in the pack, all these kind of things. People were making moves, and I just thought it was wildly entertaining compared to what we've seen in the past. Billy, I know you watched the race. What was your take from it?
Yeah, I would agree with you. I would say the same thing you said. I don't know if it was just the TV coverage was actually just better on this race, because they showed a lot of passing all the way throughout the field. It just wasn't up front. So I would agree with you.
This Definitely. is a weird little scenario we're coming to here, because, Rob, when I look at starting positions and I look at finish positions, the top 10 is comprised. First of all, kudos to the 6 team. You boys been on it the last
couple
races. Started 20 damn fourth and finished 9th, which is amazing. But when I look at the top 10, there's only – okay, so Clint Bowyer started 14th, finished 2nd. Denny Hamlin, I mean, he was picked by both you guys to win this damn race, and he started 30th, finished 5th. And then Ryan Newman started 24th and finished 9th. But, Rob, I see a trend right here. Everybody else, the other 7 people that finished in the top 10 started in the top 10. And I know this qualifying format is going to get changed and all that kind of stuff. But fact of the matter is – oh, and by the way, Billy Bradley, I got to give you another kudos. Your boy Chris Buescher was absolutely having another great race, and he screwed up, you know, kind of there at the end. He started 7th, but he was getting ready to have another top 10.
Yeah.
But –
he just can't seem to seal the deal at the end.
No,
he stays up there, but
you know, and thank God he's not Ryan Larson. I mean, Kyle Larson, because Kyle Larson's got to be beside himself. But Rob, we see qualifying's been a mess. Other than the Daytona 500, which some could argue the wreck in one of the duels was tough. Other than the Daytona 500, the qualifying has been really, really difficult from a fan's perspective to watch. I know it's even worse from a crew guy's, because you know nobody wants to be the first. Clint Bowyer talked about being the first guy out there at I think Texas, and you know, only guy out there, and screwed up his lap. But the qualifying is so much more important now that it's screwed up. It really is a big wild card, Rob, moving forward.
Yeah.
How do you guys deal – first of all, you came from 24th to 9th. I'd like to hear, you know, your thoughts on that. But how are we moving forward going to make this a little bit more even? Is there any way to do that?
Well, I mean, the qualifying format didn't play as big a role in Richmond as it does at the mile and a half, because we don't have the drag ducks, and you weren't really trying to draft there.
Gotcha.
But the change to qualifying, where they made each round 5 minutes,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's the answer either, because now, even if you're one of the first cars out, you don't have enough time to cool the engine back down and get out and make another pass.
Make another run.
Mm-hmm. If you're not happy with your run, you can't go out and try to better your time to try to improve yourself. You've only got time for one run.
All right, Rob, let me ask a question right there. When you guys are making – so – back before, when you had this, you know, when you drafting wasn't such a thing, you could go out you could make a run, you could get back in, cool engine, cool tires, all that stuff, and still make another good attempt with 10 minutes on the clock when there wasn't drafting. Is that correct?
Correct. Yeah, if you're, I mean, because it takes a good 5 minutes, sometimes a little longer, to get that engine cool enough to go ahead and make another pass because you're taped off.
Yeah.
You know, there's no air flowing to the engine through the radiator. Mm-hmm. So you really got to get that engine cool. And with 5 minutes, I mean, that's not enough. Like I said, even if you're the first one out, you're not going to make it. So I don't know if that was the answer either.
Yeah.
I mean, it saves people from just sitting around, but I don't think you're going to have that at Richmond anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, no, you're probably never going to have that at Richmond. The five-minute thing, Billy, is interesting because I think every fan knows. And Billy, I think of the five-minute rule going from 10 to 5, the same as every fan in America said, why Texas Motor Speedway would you put the
cuss word
tire monster in the
cuss word
lower groove when everybody runs there anyways? It just it's like, why the hell would you do that, dumbasses? In his last race, they changed it, and it was the best race between Texas Motor Speedway in 12 years. And I look at this format. Everybody knows going from 10 minutes to 5 minutes is really only knocking out 5 minutes of the fucking wait time. We're still going to wait until the very end, Billy. I mean, is this? And I know they have to start somewhere, but Billy, I just see we need to go back to single car qualifying because it's just going to be a damn mess, and it's bullshit that I don't think we need in the sport. But is the 5 minute thing, in your opinion, going to help this qualifying? Is it going to be good for qualifying? What do you think?
I don't think it's going to help the qualifying, and especially just after hearing Rob's insight on that part, that if you have a bad lap and go out there and want to come back in and have the opportunity to have that second lap, it seems like after hearing Rob's take, you're not going to have that chance. So,
yeah.
I mean, if single car qualifying is what we want to do, I mean, let's run do the heat races or draw a peel. Like we said, and, you know, do a if the television thing is the deal to it, bring all your drivers out there for 30 minutes, let them get on stage and draw a peel and let them talk.
Yeah. Go ahead, Rob.
And that was the whole reason, you know, getting back to that, the reason we're group qualifying and we have this knockout qualifying, you know, to decide that, you know, 24 move on the second round, 12 move on to the third round, you know, to decide the pole. The whole reason for the knockout qualifying was if you go out and you make a run, you can come back in and make another pass and try to, you know, leapfrog somebody and maybe push somebody else out. That was the idea behind it to begin with.
Yeah. And that idea does make sense.
So
it makes sense.
And now with 5 minutes, you don't have time to do it. Yeah. Maybe that – and I know the theory or the thought process is probably, well, we need to make it blanket no matter where we are. You know, if it's 5 minutes, it's 5 minutes. It's not 10 minutes everywhere but the mile-and-a-half, two-mile tracks, and it's, you know, it's 10 minutes at Richmond, Bristol, you know, the short track stuff or whatever, and it's 5 minutes everywhere else. They're trying to make it a blanket thing, but and you hit the nail on the head, though. You said it just right. Is all you're doing is you're just taking 5 minutes out of the wait. They're still going to wait till the last – when it comes time to put those drag ducks back in and we're on another mile and a half, we're going to be right back to – we're going to sit and wait till a minute to go, and then everybody's going to take off.
Rob, let me throw this out at you because I'd love to get your perspective on it. Billy and I have batted this around a few different times over the years, but I look at the Daytona qualifying, and I know Daytona's the Super Bowl, it's the first race of the season, it needs to be special and all this kind of stuff. However, it takes – for one car to do a lap. Okay, so let's go Texas Motor Speedway. Is a lap time, like a single car lap, is it like 30 seconds or something, Rob? What is it out there? Do you know off the top of your head?
For a nice even number, let's call it 30.
All right, let's call it 30. There's not going to be 40 cars at a mile and a half. There's going to be 35, 37, something like that. So let's just for
cuss word
and giggles say that it is 40 cars taking 30 seconds apiece. Let's just say it takes them a minute apiece. If you did if you ran every mile and a half in bigger track, the same way you do Daytona, and hear me out, by the way, you're going to have a 40-minute time period to get everybody to go through one time, okay? Then you correct. Line them up and you run two 25-minute or 25-lap damn races, Billy Bradley. You set the front row with the two single fastest speeds, and they're going to be slower than the speeds that are in the two heat races. But those two heat races aren't going to take 30 minutes apiece, unless there's some big block problem. You're talking about less than 2 hours from start to finish to do the entire thing out there. Now I know. And by the way, if the heat races get canceled or whatever, you go by the single qualifying thing. I like that, Rob, but is that going to be – would something like that be unrealistic to try to do at a track? What's your opinion on that?
It's hard to say. I mean, you could boil it down to, okay, this is how long it's going to be. It's going to be a 25-lap heat race, and there's not going to be any pit stops. If you have a flat, too bad.
Yeah.
Something like that, where you don't have to set pit boxes up and have your pit crews in that day and everything else. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of nuts and bolts to that, a lot of moving parts.
Well, you've already said enough to tell me that that's probably not a very feasible plan. That would have to radically change the current way that we do things. And I've never even realized it. And when I go out there and watch qualifying, there ain't a pit box set up. You guys are out there on the damn track or on the on pit road ready to go. So it's pretty bare bones out there already, isn't it?
Right. I mean, you're out there with basically, you know, everybody now, since you have your generator out there with your cool down unit and everything.
Yeah.
You and everybody's outfitted there. That particular cart has your generator for heating the oil. It has the cool down unit for cooling down the water for the engine. And now it's outfitted with monitors and internet antenna, et cetera, so you can monitor your scoring. So it's like a mini pit box, but when the Xfinity Series did it, when they were doing heat races, it was done day of.
Yeah.
And, you know, everything was already there. You're already set up.
Yep.
So you had that going on. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean,
this is all to say,
if you wanted to overhaul everything, you could do it.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's not going to be just switching on one weekend, you know.
Yeah, this is all to say that this is whatever NASCAR does, and I firmly believe they're trying to do their best. I mean, they put something
absolutely.
Out there. It's a new package. It's difficult. It's one of these things. I actually enjoy the – how do you say that word, Billy? What is that word, Billy?
Tumultuous.
Yes, it's very what Billy just said out there right now, and that's okay. I'm all right with that. Rob, it takes two of us. It takes a village for one of us to speak correctly on this show.
For sure.
But let's talk about Martin Truex Jr., boys. I last week I opened my mouth and said, hey, until Martin Truex Jr. does something, I'm not sure what's happening. I said he and Eric Jones, everybody's looking at him. All he does is go out there and lead 186 laps and starts fifth and collects the win. The good thing for Martin Truex Jr., I guess I should say, is that although he didn't get a stage win, he's got some stage points, and now he's sixth. He's sixth in the overall ranking. But you look like at Joey Logano. Joey Logano, he only needed another lap, and that thing was done. We're sitting here, Billy, with Penske and JGR as the only race winners through nine races, brother. We haven't seen SHR win a race, which is bonkers to me, but Chevy hasn't even sniffed a race. Although I take it back. Kurt Busch finished second. But, Billy, JGR and Penske definitely have this something figured out. Boy, those poor Chevys are struggling, though, aren't they?
Yeah, the Chevrolet, we thought there at Texas, when Jimmy Johnson was running up front and proved the throne that they might have something. I still think I think they're better right now this time than they was this time last year for sure. And we really need Chevrolet to pick it up to take this sport to the next level that it's continuing every year, but we really need Hendrick Motorsports in general just to pick it up.
Yeah, Rob, you guys got a new driver. Last year, he had a couple different drivers over there trying to work out the bugs and the kinks and all that kind of stuff. Ryan Newman sitting 15th in the points, but the last 3 weeks, he's been climbing up. I guess we mentioned he finished ninth. Ryan Newman goes from RCR to Roush Fenway. He jumps in that car, and he's having some pretty damn good success, more success than he had over there at RCR, and it's a very early thing. Do you attribute that to maybe how Ford is much more on the same page than Chevy? Do you consider that to be Ryan Newman coming over with I mean, you had Matt Kenseth there, but now Ryan Newman knows this is his seat, and he's a cagey veteran. Is there one thing you can put your finger on? Is there just a bunch of different things?
I think just from our perspective, just from the 6 and the 17, from a Roush Fenway perspective, it's a combination of things. I think bringing Matt in last year really helped open the eyes of the organization as far as where our car stood in reference to everyone else in the field. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, there were some big changes that came from that. And then bringing Ryan in this year, I mean, he's revitalized. He's, you know, it's a new deal for him. He's there mm-hmm. to make something happen. And he's bringing a lot to the table as well to help make our cars better. So I think a combination of having the new Mustang is a pretty righteous car. Obviously, yeah. Penske is wearing them out. And SHR, I mean, yeah, they haven't won, but they're running really well. Yeah. It's only a matter of time. You know, Harvick put it on the pole in Richmond, so obviously, you know, they've got some speed. So I think there's a lot going on from the Roush Fenway standpoint. There's a lot happening there. Like, our cars are getting better. We've got a guy in the sixth seat that's ready to make it happen. Yeah. And Ricky in the 17, I mean, he's going to drive it too. And, you know, and the car's getting better, is making him better. He's had some really crummy luck here the last couple weeks, but so, you know, we're turning the corner. You know, there's still a long way to go for us to, you know, to be able to run with those Fords from over in Mooresville and everything. But I think there's a lot happening there. I don't think you can just attribute it to just one single factor.
All right, Billy, a couple quick notes here, right here. You know, I brought this whole thing up because we've got Ryan Newman going from a Chevy to a Ford, doing very well. We got Kurt Busch going from a Ford to a Chevy, even doing better, which just boggles my damn mind. And you say Ricky Stenhouse Jr. has had some bad luck and that kind of stuff. He's wrecked some race cars. But, Billy, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. fell from 16th to 18th, so he is still doing better than Kyle Larson, William Byron, Alex Bowman. And if you don't think Chip Ganassi Racing and Hendrick Motorsports is spending a shit ton of money on those three cars to be 19th, 20th, and 21st, I mean, you're just kidding yourself. And when I look in the, you know, Rob just said, you know, Kevin Harvick, the SHR guys are doing well. Kevin Harvick put on the pole. Well, Kevin Harvick sits fourth in the points. Clint Bowyer sits eighth in the points. Eric Almirola sits 11th. And Daniel Suarez sits 12th. All those guys are inside the top 12. They don't have a win yet, but it's a Ford and it's a JGR thing going on right now. And quite frankly, it's really a Ford thing. It's extremely – now, Rob, I'm old enough to remember back in the day where, you know, Ford would come out with – they would make a change to their damn Taurus in the middle of the season, and it would get a couple more aero points on it, and then people would be pissed. And then Chevy would come out and do something. And would get – those days are long gone. And I just –
yeah.
Billy, it looks to me that Chevy is really far behind the eight ball right here. I mean, they are stuck in a pinch, and it's going to take something to get them out of it. And maybe, just maybe, if Kurt Busch or Jimmy Johnson – you know, we watched Jimmy – you were a teammate of Jimmy Johnson's, Rob, and I got to tell you something, man. Watching the whole community of NASCAR, and racing in general – follow him on the Boston Marathon was amazing.
Right.
Holy shit.
Is that not incredible?
It's crazy. Everybody was rooting for that guy. And that's just a testament to how awesome of a person he is, isn't it?
Yeah. And that's another thing I want to bring up about people. You know, I'm getting this hot topic a little bit later. You know, people are talking about the sport of NASCAR, but, you know, if it wasn't for I mean, Jimmy Johnson got more media coverage doing that Boston Marathon and anything he's done, and he deserves it because it. I mean, there's no chance in hell I'm doing a half a marathon. But you know, the sport, they wouldn't be talking about him if the sport was in that much trouble. I mean,
no.
The sport's in a good place. We just gotta find out what it is and get the Chevrolets running. But I mean,
no
that's
doubt.
Just a. Jimmy Johnson, wow.
I know, Rob, you had no doubt that he could finish it. Obviously, it was very difficult, but, I mean, that dude's just flat-out money, isn't he?
I think I remember hearing he was shooting for sub – he wanted to finish in 3 hours.
Yeah.
Which is like
– 3 hours.
I think that's like a 6.5-minute mile or something like that, which is cruising running.
Yeah.
I mean,
I have a little Jimmy Johnson story. Go ahead, Rob.
No, I'm just. I
think Rob
I
is
think
just
finished,
taking it back.
He finished in 3 hours and 9 minutes.
Yeah,
which I mean is incredible.
Unbelievable.
You know, and I saw something. You know, and you say that race car drivers aren't athletes. Well, okay, so that's one.
Yeah.
You know, who's an extreme? He's an extremely gifted athlete,
yeah.
And the rest of the cats that are sitting in those seats are the same. So,
yeah. Well, I'll tell you this right here, Rob Lopes and Billy Bradley. For every shitty athlete like Brad Keselowski dribbling the basketball, there's a Jimmy Johnson running damn near world class. I mean, he's running 7 minute damn miles for 26 miles. That is, I mean, if that doesn't make you a world-class athlete, for every Brad Keselowski, there's a Jimmy Johnson that cancels him out there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yes.
And you know what?
But surely somebody
Brad
will.
Brad Keselowski can't dribble basketball. So what?
He cannot.
Yeah, oh, shit.
That's what he gets paid to do.
Billy, let's go straight to your hot topic, Billy Bradley. What do you want to talk about, brother?
Man, I want to talk about all these people. A lot of it is, you know, I get on social media and see these people talking about, my God, where's all these fans at? I mean, the Bristol race kind of brought it all up and all that. But and a lot of local people here in my area, they were like, I can't believe Bristol had that many empty seats. And I was like, it's nice weather. Why wasn't your ass down there watching it? I mean, you know, and I think the Chevrolet not living up to their hype has kept a lot of the fans, not a lot, but, the Chevrolet guys are like, well, I want to go down there and watch my driver or Chevrolet get their ass kicked by Joe Gibbs Toyota. But, you know, you're bitching about it, but you're not.
But is that a real excuse?
No, that's what they say.
Well, and that's, to me, that's a BS excuse for not going to the race. Because
that's what I told them.
If you like, exactly, and I'm glad you did, because if you like racing, you're going to go. Whether your driver's driving a Chevrolet and maybe they're getting their butts kicked right now, it ain't going to last all season. You know?
Exactly.
And if you like racing, if you want to go to the race, you're going to go. Don't make excuses. Go. Buy a ticket. Go to the race.
Yeah. Well,
don't sit at home. You know, don't sit at home and complain that the seats are empty. Because this is, and I'm going to go ahead and chime in on your hot topic, Billy, is that my thoughts have always been perhaps we've saturated ourselves too much.
Mm-hmm.
We go to a lot of cities
mm-hmm.
once, and
yep.
people pick and choose. You know, and money's tight for everybody, so people
yeah.
pick and choose when they go. Well, at the NHRA goes to, I think they go to Pomona twice,
mm-hmm.
and they go to Charlotte twice,
yeah.
and everywhere else they go once.
One
so
time.
If you want
to
watch NHRA
racing,
one
time.
This is when they're coming. You better buy a ticket and be there. And
yep.
I've often thought that if we started doing the same things and adjusted our schedule, cut back on our races, went to a couple places twice, you know, added some tracks but took away double dates
mm-hmm.
and just added some other racetracks and kind of shortened our season or, you know, created more off weeks, I think, you know, okay, this is when we're coming to town, boys and girls. You want to see us, you buy a ticket. Otherwise, you won't see us till next year.
Yeah, well,
and I agree.
People got to come up with better excuses than, oh, my driver's getting his butt kicked, so I'm not going to go. You're either a fan or you're not.
You hit the nail on that.
100%.
And the big thing that I look at when I look at these races is, I believe in 1996, we had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. So about the mid 90s is when we started adding tracks, and we started taking away going to tracks. Okay. And the mid 90s is when NASCAR was just getting ready. It was already a grown, and it was getting ready to take off again until the
mid
2000s. Yeah, exactly.
We were exploding in the late 90s, early 2000s.
And here's what I think, Rob, you touched on it. Go straight to what Billy says. You know, NASCAR had they signed away their rights to their radio and internet stuff to Turner Broadcasting Network way back when. And so we didn't have, you know, NASCAR radio. We didn't have, you know, the NASCAR.com and all that kind of stuff like we have now. So now, fast forward, we have you can stream every race.
Thank you for listening, and we hope you participate with us. Please help us out by rating and reviewing us on iTunes or Google Play, and visit our website, sloppyyellow.com, where you'll find information on being a Patreon and helping our charity, weareyoumatter.com.
You can watch it three different ways on NASCAR.com. You can watch it, you know, right there. So we're streaming it. We're now, you can catch every race on TV. And it used to be sometimes, Rob, you know, back in the day, it was on the radio. There wasn't
TV
on there. And so now we have literally saturated the way you can consume NASCAR racing.
And you have just answered the biggest criticism from everybody. You just took Billy's hot topic, and you just answered it and covered it with just that.
Yep.
And I'm just, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now there's so many different ways to take in your favorite sport.
Yep.
You know, like, you don't have to go, because you can watch it on, you can have something, you can be watching things on the computer, you can watch it on TV, you can have the radio broadcast on. You can just be saturated with media in three different, you know, watching a NASCAR app, watching it on your laptop or your tablet, watching it on TV, listening to this, listening to that. You can take it all in. You can be watching things the way the control room does.
Yep. Yep.
And you can be doing it from the comfort of your living room.
And it's pretty damn cool.
Exactly. But those people are the ones complaining that there's nobody in the seat.
Yeah.
You know what's funny is that,
get your ass in the seat. Take this ass with you.
Yeah, we first got
by everyone.
Yeah. When I first got into the sport, you know, that was, like you said, the early 90s. You had to go to Radio Shack and buy the damn scanner and go to the track and buy. You had to buy the frequency list at that time.
Yeah.
You couldn't just get it. Now you got it on your phones.
Yeah. You can Google it and find that information. I'll give you another way, Rob. And by the way, my hot topic was how NASCAR is actually trending upward. And it's funny because most people, you know, like where Billy brought up the attendance, I think it's trending upward because last year I watched the finale while I was in the airport. Twitter had the race on. So if you just clicked on the trending topic, NASCAR finale, Homestead finale, you could click a button and watch a damn race on Twitter. And my whole point to this thing is we got more people watching NASCAR than we ever have. I mean, 200,000 people at Texas Motor Speedway. I've been there when Texas Motor Speedway was the seventh largest city in Texas that weekend, because we had over 240,000 people there in 2008. I was there. I saw it. It was a madhouse. We are today have more viewers watching and consuming the sport of NASCAR than we ever have. It's just not at the stands anymore, and the people are like, the people that are bitching are probably the ones following it either on Twitter or NASCAR.com or something. They are still consuming it. They are still, you know, it's just not there.
That's how I shut a buddy of mine up. That's how I shut him up there the last week at Bristol. You know, he was talking about, I can't believe that, you know, there was only 40, 50,000 people there. And I said, you watched it, right? You clicked on the TV, right? And
He said, yeah. I said, well, they got credit for you turning your channel to that race. That's how people are consuming the sport right now.
Yeah, and it's fine. Listen, we all know that in the heyday of NASCAR, the only way to consume that product was to put more damn seats in the damn stands. Well,
right.
Okay, so now many more people are watching it somehow, consuming it a different way. They don't necessarily need to go there. However, I'm going to tell you this. I agree with you and Rob, Billy, that the best way to consume a race is in the damn stands, because I'm going to tell you something. I told I got on Twitter. I said, well, man, that California race wasn't that good. And Rochelle Boykin came back. Hey, I was there. The racing was pretty fun if you were there. I was like, okay, touche, point made, Rochelle.
Right.
You know, when you're there at the track, the experience is so much better because you can see mm-hmm. what's happening that's not on the camera. You see everything
right.
that goes on pit road. I've been to a dozen different races, and I've seen, like, the 88 come down pit road or somebody from the 88 team run back to the garage, and I'm like, oh, shit, what's going on? Well, people on the TV don't know that. People on the TV
right.
don't know that a wrench broke or some shit happened and they're running back. You'd only get that when you go to the stands. I personally believe, and it's just my belief, by the way, a very good friend of mine this week texted me and told me I was full of shit because I've been up NASCAR's ass for the last couple of weeks. I said, well, damn, where were you when I was telling them they weren't worth a hammered bag of
yeah.
dog shit? I mean,
right.
I've said that for years. But the fact of the matter is, when
they're
you,
making
you,
changes.
They're making changes. They're going in a good yep. direction. This whole thing we consume sports has changed. You don't watch football the same way. I can't watch. Rob
no.
and I watched our Penguins go down in freaking flames. I followed the whole thing on Twitter while I was watching the damn thing, and I can't consume a hockey game any other way. I can't consume I love watching Twitter and all these other social media things that I follow, you know, reporters in that city or whatever. I get more information. I'm a more involved fan in 2019 than I ever have been. And I, as far as I'm concerned, even though I wish more people would go to the track because it is an amazing experience. You cannot describe.
Can't describe.
You can describe a football game because everybody goes to a junior high game or something like that. But you can't describe what it's like to go to Bristol Motor Speedway. You can't describe what it's like to go down into Martinsville. I personally believe that for the first time in a long time, NASCAR is trending in a positive and more watched role than we have ever been.
Agree.
I look forward to continuing.
Agree.
Rob, I know they're making changes in the garage with you guys. It's weird, but, I mean, we're all going through this together. And personally, I think it's kind of fun. I love the fact that last weekend at Richmond, Rob, a bunch of drivers were in there talking about Gen 7 car with Jim France. Jim France was in the other. They're getting driver input, not because they want to, you know, make the drivers happy, this kind of thing necessarily, but they want input from everybody so that they don't start out with a Generation 6 car like they did in 2006. They want this thing to be as seamless as possible, knowing there's going
right.
to be some heartaches, but by including everybody in this thing and letting the public know what's going on and holding these meetings that were never held before. Shit was not the like, Rob. I mean, I got to believe
yeah.
in your time. How long you been in NASCAR in the garage, Rob?
Wow. You really going to make me say this?
I'm going to make you say it, brother.
This is my 24th season.
24th season in the garage, Rob Lowe. Congratulations, son. I hope you make it 25, but I want to tell you something. I have to believe that there's been few times in your 24 years that you've seen the amount of change that has happened in the last 12 months in NASCAR. Would that be accurate?
Yes. 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 There's a lot happening. I mean, just – and it's proactive and it's productive. It's not – this is the way we're going to do it, and they're not getting anybody's opinion. Like you
yeah.
said, they had meetings
yeah.
with the drivers. They're going to make – we're trying to make a better product.
Yeah.
And the only way to do it is have everybody involved in building this product to be involved in the decision making. So, you know, what's
yeah, I
not
mean,
to like about
that? Yeah, what's not to like about that shit? I mean, that's like every person who's an employee wants their boss to come talk to them about shit like that. That gets you invested. That gets you into it. And guess what? If the racing
True.
Sucks, the driver salaries go down. Everything goes bad if the racing sucks. I personally think the last three races I have seen, Texas Bristol and Richmond are the three best Texas Bristol and Richmond races I have seen in, well, it's definitely the best one I've seen in a decade, for sure. I've seen some good Richmond races back in the day, but I'm going to tell you something. The last 10 years, the last three races we have had have been the best we've had so far. I mean, I appreciated that my friend texted me and told me I was full of shit. But then when I explained my side of the story, we decided that we were still going to be friends. And I'm glad for that, but we're trending in a really, really good spot. Rob, what is your hot topic for this off week?
My hot topic for the off week is the off week.
Excellent.
Yeah.
What the hell do you do? Yeah, this is the longest time we've gone without a break. Easter's late this year, so you've had 9 races.
It's all relative. It's all relative because we go on a pretty good stretch, you know, from the end of the year. I mean, our last off week this year is in August, and then you're all the way to November. So, you know, it's not the longest stretch we go without a break. But, I mean, what I think it feels long because there's been so much going on, and there was so much work put in over the winter by everybody that, you know, we were pounding away on things, you know, right after we got home from Homestead, we took a breath, took our shoes off, and then it was, oh, let's have a little turkey, and then we were back at it. You know what I mean? And it's been – we've been pounding away, and everybody has. Roush Fenway, Stuart Haas, Penske, Hendrick, Joe Gibbs, every organization in the sport has been pounding away on their cars and been working their guts out. And, you know, not to mention you go from Daytona where you're down there for a couple weekends, and then you go to Atlanta, and then you're out west for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Which is, right. I mean, the logistics of that alone are pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So everybody's ready for a break. I know we worked, you know, we got a couple extra days off this week, and we're using them to recharge. The drivers, you know, guys are going on vacations, you know, like mini vacations. You know, their kids are in spring break right now, so they get to go away. You know, you get to have, you know, Easter dinner with family and everything. Everybody's getting a little bit of break, getting a recharge, getting recentered, because now you're going to come back and you're going right to Dega.
Yeah.
And it's going to be crazy.
It absolutely is going to be crazy. And I would imagine, Rob, that, you know, when we came back from this West Coast swing and we, you know, had these last races, it seemed like a lot of teams, you know, got – I would absolutely say that the sixth team, even though Ricky Stenhouse hasn't maybe had the finishes that he's necessarily deserved, I mean, the whole organization over there has been better since we come back from that West Coast spring. Does any of that come back from the time that you were able to look at some data and some things that were happening with this new package, or is it just you just guys now got some time under your belt and things are hitting? Does any of that – because what I'm wondering is this off week time for you guys to make maybe some changes, you know, to your cars moving forward, or that
absolutely
sort of thing based on what you learned? Okay.
Absolutely. That's the other thing about it. It gives you a chance to reevaluate some things. You can take a breath and you can try to get ahead in your car count, you know, for guys that have torn up a bunch of race cars, which if I'm just trying to think through it, I mean, there hasn't been a lot of, you know, we haven't had a whole lot of wrecking going on. So we haven't been, you know, not many people have been tearing up a bunch of race cars, but you're cutting. The thing of it is, and we could go down this street all day. The tolerances are so tight on the bodies from that, you know, that optical scanner is you're chopping the sheet metal off of these cars every week anyway, whether you wreck them or not.
Yeah.
Like anytime that car gets raced, it's going home and getting the sheet metal chopped off of it from the door tops down.
Whoa, hang on a minute. I didn't realize that. So when that car comes back from Texas, it was stripped back down and built back up from the outside?
Oh, yeah. And I'd be shocked at
some of a bitch.
There's probably, I'd say, more teams than not. Or you're chopping the sheet metal off of that, like I said, from the door tops down. You're leaving the greenhouse, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
Billy, did you know that, Billy?
What? I did not know that. I just assumed if that car wasn't hurt, it went back in, you know, maybe done some motor work and stuff like that. But I didn't realize the sheet metal.
Nah.
Yeah. Rob Logs dropping
cuss word
bombs again, Billy Bradley. Dropping bombs again. Damn.
Well, I mean, it's like I said, your tolerances are so tight, and, you know, those cars, you know, things move, things happen. You know, you brush the fence, you get up next to somebody. Well, that just turned that scan to crap. So.
Well, here's the real question I have for you, Rob Lopes. How in the hell do you do this shit during the week? I mean, when there's no off week, and you got to go from August to the end of the year, and somebody, and we know we heard the rumors last year, Kevin Harvick and those guys worked on their race. Once they knew they were in the chase, they set aside their homestead, supposedly, and kept working. How do you guys keep up with this shit during the week? I mean, Lord have mercy.
Well,
it sounds like
First off, it's not like it was in the 60s and the 70s where the same six guys that travel are the same six guys that are building cars.
Yeah.
You know, every shop's got 100 employees or 50 employees or 20 employees. You know, no matter who it is, there's guys back in the shop that are building cars.
Damn.
And, you know, like our fabrication department, our body hanging department, our chassis department, they're working up to a month ahead. You know what I mean? Like the cars that are getting sheet metal hung on right now are for Charlotte.
Oh my God, Billy! I had no idea that. I mean, I knew that there was guys back in the shop and that sort of thing, but I assume when the car came back, they put it on their templates there, kind of rubbed out something here, buffed out something there, and stuck them back in and ready to go. I had no idea it was that damn involved. That makes this schedule that much even more grueling. Every time I hear a driver or a crew guy bitch about the season, I'm like, come on, man, what the hell? But holy shit! Personally, now that hearing that, Billy, I don't know why NASCAR wouldn't want a couple more breaks in there, because it gives teams the time to catch up, and probably make the damn racing better.
Right. And Rob just hit on something I was going to ask, and I think we just got the answer. Like, I know, you know, what the drivers, you know, they're still involved even on their off weeks or what, but to me it sounds like, you know, the shop guys, team guys, I mean, you know, there really isn't an off week, because, you know, you may have a couple extra days, but, I mean, Rob, was you at the shop today working?
No, I wasn't. I was actually working in my yard and working in my garage today, but our shop was building cars. The road guys get a couple extra days on an off, when, you know, we come into an off weekend.
Off week.
Because, you know, we're –
You're there to track all weekend.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll go in for a couple of days this week, and then it's like, okay, boys, we'll see you Monday.
Yeah. Well, Rob,
you
I know, can tell you this.
Girls, we'll see you Monday. So,
you might not have been at the shop. I was going to say, you might not have been at the shop, but I promise you, I'm guessing your neighbors are probably happy you're working in your yard before you go on vacation and then hit the road for three damn months and come back and jungle back there.
You know, I still manage to get my lawn mowed once a week, and, you know, try to get the bushes trimmed down where you can actually see the house and stuff like that. You know, try to get some things caught up. And I'm sure, you know, my neighbors are like, oh my God, he actually does live there.
Hey, that's our neighbor. Let's take him a casserole. He must be new.
Yeah. Are you a new resident? No, same guy.
Hey, Rob. Every week you've dropped some knowledge on me that I just hadn't considered, thought of, or knew, and I consider myself a pretty damn knowledgeable fan, and I appreciate the shit out of this. We don't have a preview for the next race. We'll do that next week. But Rob,
before you go down that road, hold on one second, Dado.
Go ahead.
That road, it's the same on this side, talking with you and Billy, as you guys give me new perspective on what we are doing. Because you guys see it from a different standpoint. And I'll use an example. Remember when you said, hey, man, was that race boring? Man, I don't know. I was working my tail off. It wasn't boring for me.
Yeah.
It's all perspective. You know, where you sit determines what you see.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So you guys help educate me as far as what the people are saying, what, you know, what you see, what do you think? And it's like, man, that's a really, you know, I never thought of that because I'm not there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we're learning from each other. I just wanted to give you a little props on that. Give you
well,
guys
I appreciate
props
it.
That it's not just me dropping knowledge. I'm not the professor or anything. It's, you know.
No, I appreciate that because oftentimes I hear you know, this is normally not from some like a most of the time a a journalist or a PR person or something like that will have a completely different take than what a fan is going through. And I'm like, wait a minute, that sounds like something somebody wants it to be the truth. You know, like when you're sitting in the marketing room, hey, people will buy this because of that. And it's not true, but it's a hope. And I hear a lot of that, you know, not from the guys that are actually working and have no idea what happened in the race. And, I mean, I remember as a, you know, we've all played sports. I remember coming back in the huddle and going, hey, what the hell happened? Because I didn't know what happened on that play. I was busy doing my job. I had no idea that, you know, we went 6 yards or something like that. So it's
– I thought the answer was going to be, well, what the hell happened because you got your bell rung and you didn't even know.
Well, but that happened between the years of 84 and 2019. So, I was the best that ever played because I have no idea what my true stats are, brother. I can't remember any of them. Shit. And I think that hits a lot of us. But you, Rob, are getting ready to go on a are you going on vacation? You're sticking around the house? What are you doing?
I've been piddling around the house here doing some things. I was actually, trying to catch up on some machinery maintenance, you know, working on my tractor, took care of the property and everything. And actually started playing with my motorcycle a little bit since it's going to be motorcycle weather here soon. So I was playing with that today, which made me kind of happy.
Yeah.
I'm going to go away for a couple days, try to get a little R&R, see some people, see some family. I'm going to try not to – I've been trying to trim down a little bit here because carrying around a little extra weight, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Casting a pretty good-sized shadow here lately. So –
Rob, that comes with age, brother. I feel your damn pain.
Yeah, I'm more with you.
Oh, to have that metabolism when we were 25, right?
No shit. Well, listen, man, what's your good for the community this week as you get ready to take off here? What do you got for us?
The good of the community. Well, I think it's a good week to celebrate family. It's a good week to celebrate each other.
Yeah.
I mean, Easter is a time of, you know, it's a time of celebration, and especially, you know, it's funny to bring up a current event. You know, the fire in France.
Yeah.
You know, in Notre Dame, and that tragic.
Yeah.
I think that church was 856 years old or something like that, if I remember right.
Yep.
A piece of world history.
Mm-hmm.
Just boom, gone in an instant.
Yeah.
And that carries a big message, I think, for everybody that, you know, things can happen in a blink of an eye, and you might have time, you might not, but, you know, don't forget to, you know, have a beer with a neighbor, you know, make sure you wave and, you know, spend some time with your family, you know, when you get that opportunity, you know, or take that opportunity.
Yeah.
And I think it's, you know, everybody's so busy, you know, there's just so much going on and everybody's working and everybody's trying to make their life better and, you know, do so much that every once in a while, you know, what was it? Ferris Bueller said, if you don't take some time to look around, you're going to miss it.
Yeah.
So, don't get caught up trying to, you know, don't get caught up making a living where you forget to make a life.
Yeah.
So I think that's good of the community right there.
Rob, that's excellent.
Right.
Because let me tell you, my daughter and I are huge fans of The Office. And Andy Bernard at the end of the series said something that she and I talk about each other whenever we're living in a good moment. Andy Bernard said, I wish we knew we were in the good old days when they happened. And I think that goes along exactly with what you're saying.
Yeah.
I mean, this is it's a good time to I mean,
yep.
Easter means rebirth.
That's a great statement.
It's a time to, if you're going to make a change in your life and spend some time with your family and get, I mean, you couldn't pick a better week to do it. I had a great time last week, Billy, paying it forward. I know you did too. What's your good of the community there, Billy Bradley?
Yeah, just like Rob said, you know, this is a good time to slow down. I mean, I've took this week off, a short week, work week, and got some things done. And, you know, I've got in some arguments with some people around here over the race attendance and stuff. And I told them, you know, just because I'm going to argue with you don't mean I still don't love you or what. But, you know, you got to be part of the solution, not the problem.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Billy, that's
it's okay.
Good.
You know what, Billy? You're exactly right. You can have a different opinion, but you can still be friends.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I'm going to tell you something. That goes exactly with what I was going to say here at the end. When that person texted me this week, said I was up NASCAR's ass and all this other bullshit, I took him straight to task, and we talked about it. And at the end of it, we parted as friends. And that's what I think a lot of people forget. You know, you can disagree with somebody and still love them and still respect.
It's all gone right.
Yeah, and still have fun and still have a beer and that kind of stuff. It doesn't change, you know, the who they are at their core. You still know who they are. You just may not believe one thing or the other. I did not vote for Donald Trump, but I laugh every time the far left picks apart something. They pick the worst parts of one great story and they throw it. And I don't like – and I've seen the far right do the same thing to the far left. And it makes no sense to me why people just can't agree to disagree and still be friends. And what I saw this week with, and I know this is going to sound dumb, but everybody rallied around Jimmy Johnson. Every race fan I saw on Twitter rallied around one of our guys doing something cool. And we were all happy for him.
And something amazing.
Kind of proud. Yeah. I was kind of proud to see Jimmy Johnson pumping his damn fist when he came across the finish line. And I am not a Jimmy Johnson fan. I mean, I respect the shit out of him, but I don't own anything that says 48 on it, Billy. I don't own anything that says any of that type of shit. But I tell you one thing, I respect the hell out of what he did. I'm very happy for Ally, who had you know, people all across the course. That's what it takes, man. It's what it takes. It doesn't matter if you like Jimmy Johnson or you can't stand Jimmy Johnson as a driver or whatever. You have to be able to respect what he does as a person, as a human being. And I think if more people and so this past week when I got that text message about me being up NASCAR's ass, we went to town. We both went at each other and did that kind of thing. At the end of it, we're like, cool, all right. That's bad. Hell, I kind of appreciated that fact. I don't, you know, none of my buddies trust me. Ain't none of you sons of bitches ever 100% on my side on everything. We all know that shit. That's what makes it fun.
True. Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, how boring would life be if we all liked and agreed on the same thing? Just imagine that.
It would
that
be very
boring. Cool.
You're exactly right.
Yeah.
I wouldn't wipe my ass with a Martinsville hot dog because that's what I think they taste.
You're crazy.
You two guys freaking love them.
Man.
I mean, yeah, that's okay.
Come on now. Come on now.
All right, I'll wait on.
You need to drag your sorry self up there to Virginia and have one before you go ahead and start passing judgment.
Well,
wouldn't even have one.
Listen, I had one. I bought five. I ate one. I gave four away to the people around me, and they thought I was damn a hero. They were like, holy shit, who is this guy? I mean, they're like,
doggone
right.
I'll tell you what, man. You can come with me anytime to Martinsville then and stand by the hot dog stand. We're going to put it like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Listen, folks, I appreciate you listening. Please go to the website, sloppyyellow.com. Rob Lopes, man, I appreciate you being on here. It's so awesome, so fun.
My pleasure.
Enjoy your off week. Get back at it, son. Let's see the 6 team get up there. Billy Bradley, quit fighting with your damn neighbors. Make love, not war. Enjoy
exactly.
that. Exactly. Now, you killed a turkey, didn't you there, buddy?
Yeah, that's why I took the week off, but I killed that one, and I've had bad luck. Maybe I need to go apologize to my neighbor, and tomorrow might change.
Yeah. Billy Bradley, go eat the frog and get that shit over with and do that. For Rob Logs, for Billy Bradley, this is Dad-O saying goodbye, everybody. Have a happy Easter. Woohoo!
Right on. See y'all.
Right on.
Thanks for listening to Off the Rails with Sloppy Yellow. Check out Dado's favorite band, D&G, with their hit song, If You Are.
Time that I can back without a little help from my guitar. you down or what? Are you down? Are you down for love? Summer could be the two of us. I told my boys I'm about to charm the chick into my clutch. So grab your clutch purse and that skirt. Work your outfit out there. All of them other brothers you out with. Outstead the competition, you about this. Who you trying to kid? Only thing I want this summer is a love that's longer than summer. There will be no other love for me. If this love goes on and on, it goes on. I'm not doing enough. So grab your clutch purse and that skirt. Work your outfit out there. All of them other brothers you out with. Yeah. All I want this summer is a summer love. All I want this summer is a summer love that goes on and on, that goes on and on. Only thing I want this summer is a summer love.